It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. It is Thursday. This is the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live here at the Kia Studios as I struggle to get through this open. It's me and it's Mike.
Yeah.
And we're holding it down.
Have you always been a germaphobe?
I'm actually wiping down my area, which is why I was fumbling around.
Yeah, she got the Lysol
wipes. To say good morning to you.
Yeah, I'm not
a germaphobe. I wouldn't say that.
Are you serious?
I just think sometimes the people in this space are gross. And sometimes...
You wipe that counter out every day, whether
I do,
or not,
because when
like,
I came in here, I saw someone's greasy mitts all over the desk.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't want to touch that. Okay. I don't want to put my hands down. I don't want any part of it.
Aren't you the one, though, that sometimes will put the trash can in the door so you don't have to use the fingerprint scanner?
I don't touch it. I kick it.
Yeah, yeah.
Why would you call me out? But it's not always me.
It's not?
No.
I thought it was you.
No.
Oh.
See, trying to take me out. You see Day-Day in there?
Day-Day's like, nah. Nah, I don't touch that thing either.
I don't touch that.
Yeah.
No, see, I was just saying, it's not always her. I know who the other culprit is.
I'm not calling you out. I think it's understandable to a lot of people that don't want to touch a fingerprint scanner. I think a lot of people vibe with that. I don't think it's a call-out thing.
I don't like touching that. Yeah. I don't know why we don't have
But I would say that puts you in. I would say that puts you in the germaphobe conversation.
I feel like I travel too much to be considered a germaphobe.
Yeah.
The things I face on the road. The one guy next to me on the flight back this past week that kept scratching his arms and then scratching his head. And I kept thinking about his skin flakes probably flying in the air. And I'm probably
Golly, man, can't even scratch?
No, it was like excessive.
Oh, well, like,
yeah, yeah, like I was like, starting, like when
shepherd.
I got home, my clothes came off at the threshold of the door. Because I was like, I don't know what this dude has.
He was like a German shepherd with that hind leg up on his head.
This is disgusting.
That ain't good.
In other news, skin flakes is such a cringy term. The way you just said it made my skin crawl a little bit.
Yeah, I never even considered that, like scratching in public to be a harmful thing until she just said skin flakes. Now I'm like, man, I might have been letting him dig.
Excessive scratching.
Yeah. No, I know, but you just saying, like, you saying skin flakes like that, it just made me ugh.
All right, I don't want to ruin, because you stay in hotels a lot, I don't want to ruin anything for you.
It's disgusting, I know.
But I'm
well aware.
It wasn't a TikTok, like Dylan was talking about.
No, if you're going to say, if you're talking about anything living or whatever, I don't want to go down that path.
Anything living?
Like, I don't know where you're going with hotel talk, but I don't want any part
of it. Okay, well, I'm just saying, what's, like, do you prep, like, when you walk in a hotel room,
I have Clorox wipes.
Clorox wipes?
I wipe the counter, the light switches, the desk, the toilet. Like
every time.
The toilet seat, pretty much every time.
Okay, you have not said the one thing that I saw in this video that's supposed to be the most disgusting.
The bed is always the most disgusting.
Okay, no, that's still not it. You got one more guess.
Oh, wait.
You got one more guess.
So it's not.
I don't want to ruin anything for you.
It's not the toilet.
Nope.
I don't know. Tell me.
The remote control.
Oh, I don't turn on the TV.
The remote control, man.
I usually don't turn on the TV.
I don't know if it was Instagram. Probably Instagram. Somebody that took like straight up Ziploc bags and put the remote control in a Ziploc bag. And they're like, it's the only way I'm touching it.
I wipe it down with the Clorox wipe too. But I don't even like touch it. Like I grab the Clorox wipe with it to wipe it down.
Yeah. Well,
but I typically don't even turn on the TV in the hotel.
I would say that you don't think that makes you a germaphobe? Just a little bit?
Wiping the people are gross.
I know.
But I don't want to share in anybody else's.
I would venture to say that 90% of travelers do not carry Clorox wipes with them.
No, I beg to differ.
Really?
Well, yeah, I think it's higher than
a 10% rate.
I think it's higher than
10%. Wow.
Because I've been on planes where I've been next to someone that has literally wiped the entire seat down.
Yeah,
and actually, when I got on the plane, headed to my seat, I heard them talk about something going on in the back of the plane, and the flight attendant probably wasn't supposed to say this out loud, but I overheard it. And he said, yeah, someone threw up, but they were just cleaning it up back in like 38, oh, like A or
That's
something.
That's always good.
So I was thinking, man, like, but that person's never going to know.
Yeah.
That someone
oh,
just,
I'm
never going to know.
Ah.
So.
I can't
yeah.
have it, man.
I'll say this. I don't think I've ever, maybe once that I can remember, but to y'all's point, I don't think I've ever seen anybody travel with Clorox wipes.
Yeah.
Like with my travel, I don't think I've ever seen it.
I keep them in a stasher bag, a silicone bag. Data, you travel with them?
Yeah, I have them in my backpack right,
right?
now.
You got kids. Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I've never traveled with my kids on an airplane. Not yet. So that's probably coming. And
you should have them on the road. Think about going into, like, you guys got to stop at the public restroom or something. Not that you would wipe. I would never touch that
have
seat.
Those. Well, I mean, okay. See, that comes with the territory. You have baby wipes when you have to change diapers and all that stuff. But that's not Clorox wipes.
Yeah.
The problem is, like, I'm a little bit weary about Clorox wipes beforehand because, like, you know, it's, like, cleaning products and stuff. But nonetheless, I do have one question before we move on.
Yes.
Are you a remote start person? I don't know your parking situation at your house, but are you able to remote start your car?
No.
Or is it like already warm in the garage or something?
No.
No?
It's not warm, and
but
I do not have a remote start.
You're not
start.
In the vicinity to remote start
you
the
You would
thing
think my car
would
have came with that, but it, unfortunately
what?
Not.
No, that's not true. It I guarantee your car has remote
well,
start.
Well, I also didn't stay for the tutorial when I bought that car. I was in a rush.
It's probably like...
I was like, I'll take it. I don't want to sit here and learn anything.
It's probably like 007 on N64 where you have to hit a button combination to get something cool to happen. It's like, you know, unlock, lock.
I'll Google it.
You know what I mean? There's no way your car doesn't have a remote start, though. I promise you.
I will Google it during the break.
Because you go through your owner's manual, Tiff.
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think most cars post 2014 have remote start, right? Most of them.
My car is a 2018.
Yeah, it's got to have remote start, and it's not. It's not like a beater.
But I'm not really. I don't even think I'd be able to. Well, I guess it's like an app, right? So if you do
well,
the
that's
app
what that
thing,
was my
then...
next question. Yes. And I will say this. I have a neighbor who I thought was upset with me because I wake up so early and I crank my car. Turns out he's very earth friendly, and
that's what he hates your truck.
Didn't like the fact that it was running in my driveway, but it took me like years to figure this out. Like one of the first things he says, we've lived there almost 6 years. He's like, man, your car running in your driveway. I'm like, oh man, was it near your bedroom window? I was like, my bad, my driveway's kind of on that side. I was like, man, I'm so sorry. And then it started hitting me down
Wait,
the road.
What did
like,
he say?
He just made mention of it.
But he didn't, when you said,
he didn't
oh,
say, like, don't do
bedroom.
It. But he was trying to be friendly.
But when you said it was by your bedroom window.
Yeah, I said, man, that's my bad. I'll come and point it the other direction. Like, I'll try to back it in so that when I crank it in the morning, like, the engine's on
but
the other side.
But he wasn't like, that's not the problem.
But he just kind of, like, moved on from it, you know? And then it hit me, like, a year or two later. Like, he has clovers in his front yard, not grass.
Oh, you want, okay, cool.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's the new natural yard thing.
Right. And, you know, big as far as, you know, the garden stuff kind of goes like that. And then it hit me like he just doesn't like my car running that long while it's heating up. But in the wintertime, I'm going to get that thing heated up. You mentioned it was 36 degrees this morning.
Yeah, I got
you
that.
Rolled in here layered up with about four layers. And is that an LSU sweater? What do you got going
on? No. What's going on? No, it's Princeton.
Oh, but you can see where I got that from.
It's this hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. It is a Princeton sweatshirt because my colleague, I always like to say esteemed colleague, but you can say esteemed when it's Princeton.
I was going
to
say.
Ross Tucker, who I guess some
I like
of y'all
Ross
folks
Tucker.
Out there may listen to. Yes.
Yeah.
Ross went to Princeton. And so I think it was our group's first college game together. He brought a box with him. And it had Princeton hats,
You're
sweatshirts.
Kidding me. I'm gonna start doing that.
He brought us gear.
Hey, I'm.
I don't even. But it may have been from this. I don't think it was just like left though. I mean, I don't even think Ross could fit what I'm. This is like a. It's large on me.
Yeah.
But it'd be too small for Ross. I don't think it was just like his. Oh man, I can't get into this.
So they sent him like a swag bag.
They must have sent him something.
Yeah.
So we reap the benefits.
It's funny because Bama does that to all their NFL players, send like a huge box of swag, hats, like, you know, all this other stuff. And people, you know, obviously when you're not, when you're no longer playing in the NFL and like things are not done for you and all that stuff, it's a big deal for like, you know, financially. But some of those things like that are the things I miss the most. Like the first time I had to go buy Powerade,
oh, yeah,
I was hot. Like I was hot with it. I was like, why am I buying Powerade? I've gotten Powerade for free for like the last 10 years. And now I'm going to buy Powerade at a grocery store. It was a little bit humbling of an experience, to be quite honest with you.
I do miss getting stuff, but then at least just me having more stuff. So I don't like to accumulate things. Like a lot of times at sporting events, I know people are like, oh, what a bad problem to have. Wham, wham. Okay, whatever.
No, well, I feel the same thing about having to buy Gatorade. Yeah. So.
Right? But like you get these swag bags or you go to like a group meeting, you get a bag. You get a bag for the Super Bowl. Like anyone that has played a sport, you probably can relate to it because you get T-shirts. Your kids get T-shirts at probably every tournament.
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff. It just piles up and then you're left with a bunch of stuff. And so I decline things now.
Yeah. Once you do it enough, it probably makes sense. Although I did grab that Matt Ryan poster a couple weeks ago at the
bins.
What
are you going to do with it?
You know what I mean? I'm going to put it on my kid's wall.
Oh. Yeah. All right. Well, now you just made me sound like a jerk.
No.
What are you doing?
No, I mean, it's just the truth. I also had the Arthur Blank Cup they had with all the free drinks and hot dog night. Yeah, I had to get one of those, too. Shout out to my man, Gordon.
You have families have miscellaneous cups in their home.
Oh, stadium cups is all it. Like, that's my cereal bowl. Stadium cups, that's my cereal bowl.
Do you have miscellaneous cups in your house? Anyone? I don't. My glasses are perfectly. No, I'm just kidding. My house is a crap show right now. But anyway, I probably could use some miscellaneous cups in my life. Hey, when we come back, Falcons, Seahawks, Coach Raheem Morris, what matchup is he excited to see? Find out next when we come back on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back here on the morning shift, and I was just thinking, my Peloton that's supposed to change my life, it gets delivered today.
Really?
Yeah.
Today's the day. Are you excited?
I feel like I was just talking about it, and then I thought it was scheduled for next week, and surprise.
That's awesome. And I brought this up yesterday, and you'll feel what I'm talking about as soon as you get it under your feet tonight. And you've done one before.
Yeah, I've done that like at a hotel and family.
I'm just so curious, like who your go-to guy will be. There's like so many different flavors on there.
I already know Cody's a favorite.
Yeah.
Right now, but I gotta.
I think I used to use Cody every now and then. Is he the big hilarious. Britney Spears fan?
Probably. Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Big Britney Spears guy. And I can bump the Peloton to a little Britney. You know what I mean?
Of course, like
Kendra was. She's like really in shape, and so but she's like kind of like a drill sergeant compared to Cody.
Okay.
You know what I mean? She's like, she's gonna hold you to task and be like, "Yo, you need to get it going." I'm like, "Wow, dang! Don't yell at me." Sheesh.
Maybe you need some intensity.
Yeah, like I didn't hit 280 on accident. You know what I mean? Like this took a while. You know what I mean? Wow. Don't break me down so fast.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm a big Peloton fan. I don't do it as much as I used to. Because I used to do it at night and now I try to go to bed a little bit earlier and that's not a good excuse, but it is what it is. But my wife does it every single night and loves it.
If I'm going to pull this off in the mornings, this means I'm going to have to like shut it down at like I probably need to be asleep by 9.
Yeah. That's my goal every night. That's my goal every night, asleep by 9. The problem is like tonight, Thursday night football, probably
exactly.
Not
exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I'm probably going to stay awake and watch that. The Braves aren't playing anymore, but I'd always have the Braves game on. I'd go lay in bed and I'd be like, man, I wonder if they can get out of this sixth inning jam. And then I'm watching it, and then I'm watching it, and then I'm boosted up. So, yeah, man, I don't know. But I'll be curious to see, like I said, who your instructor is, because I think everybody eventually latches on to one or two and kind of vibe with those kind of people. And it's usually about the music, but sometimes about the attitude as well. So we'll see.
We'll see. Just like we'll see what's going to happen this weekend with a full slate of games, of course, with the Atlanta Falcons. They're taking on the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday. And like we teased to you earlier, Coach Raheem Morris, lots of matchups in this one to be excited about. He's got his eyes on one particular one.
I'm really excited about that matchup with him and AJ and watching those guys go out there and compete. Like, that AJ has one of the toughest jobs on the team every single week, right? You go out
right
first week of the season, you got Pickens. Next week of the season, you got this guy. Then you got Deontay Johnson last week. And you're going to go out there and you're going to match that guy up with those guys that we know how much money they make.
right.
Every single week. And they don't make that money by mistake. They make it because they earn it. And he has to go out there and play. And they're going to make catches. They're going to have receptions. And you got to keep fighting. And the one thing we know about AJ, he's a fighter. He's going to go out there no matter what and keep going. And no better example than what he did last week, right? Standing in the fight, covering Deontay, and then at the end, boom, steps in front of the last minute and gets a pick.
Guess I should have told you who the matchup was against. Surprise, DK Metcalf.
So. Yeah. I don't think there's any question.
Coach Morris is talking about.
Right, I don't think there's any question. And he mentioned the fact that AJ Terrell has a tough matchup. And look, there's times, obviously, he's going to man up. Falcons noted cover three team under Raheem Morris and Jimmy Lake so far this year. I think they're playing that at about a 40% clip, which ranks about sixth or seventh in the league. I got to check back on the numbers. But top 10 in terms of the amount they play cover three. And when you look at DK Metcalf and what he does, it's obvious that Geno Smith is looking for DK Metcalf in these situations, Tiff. He's got almost 60% of their yards through the air against cover three. They'll try to pick him apart, 25% of the targets. The good news is that when you look at last week and DK Metcalf and you turn on the game, I swear I turn on the game and I'm watching Seattle and I'm watching the replay of it. And like every ball is thrown at DK Metcalf, like every single one of them. And so I'm like looking at it, watching. I'm like, have they thrown it to anybody else? And then at some point, like midway through the game, Geno Smith just kind of like that kind of tails off a little bit, starts throwing out of the backfield, starts throwing to a number of other players in the scheme. But only 3 of 11 on targets that come his way to DK Metcalf. And we all saw the shot where he puts on the headset and is talking to offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb. And he's a lot of people, lip readers out there. Can you please throw it past the sticks is what supposedly he was saying. So he was frustrated last week.
Well, I was looking at a Seattle Times article, and that's basically the headline of the article is the Seahawks need to get him to take care of the ball. They need to get him the ball, basically, too. That's what they were insinuating in it. He's a playmaker, and I know that over the last couple of years, you're kind of guaranteed to almost get like 1,000 yards with him a season. But
And there's no question too. I mean, Tiff, you've been around enough of these teams where you kind of can just like eyeball test some of the playmakers. You know what I mean? You're like first guy off the bus, that's definitely DK Metcalf.
Yeah, you know.
But he also has that top end speed that can kind of run away from you and make some plays. If you look closer at some of the words that came out of these pressers, too, I've been watching them all week. Like Geno Smith's like, hey, DK didn't get his toes down on the one touchdown or the one would-be touchdown. What did you think about that? Do you think he could have gotten his feet in the end zone? And Geno just kind of drops the, well, just check the film. You can go watch the film. It's like, wow, dude, like really? Like he's got to make the circus catches or he's not getting signed off on by Geno Smith? I think Geno Smith's frustrated. I think DK's frustrated. I think the matchups you'll see in this will be quite interesting because the way this kind of breaks down, and obviously a very, very pass-happy team, but they'll also try to get the ball to the running back out of the backfield. I mentioned it. 14 carries for like 30 yards last week. Awful. Awful ground game right now. But a number of people that have talked about the offensive line for Seattle, obviously a problem, but it's just not a commitment they try to make. It's like, hey, let's get it to DK. Get to some other people, see if we can move on.
But do you think, like, and I kind of butchered the headline of the article, but it was saying they need him to take care of the ball. And he was talking about just, like, basically this year, he said, I've done a pretty good job, but, when it comes to not giving the ball away, I've been at the scene of 3 turnovers this year. I'm like, does this warrant a headline? But I guess maybe it's uncharacteristic play for him. I don't know.
Yeah, I think there's so much like, dysfunction around this because I don't think most of us think of DK Metcalf when we think of
fumbles, and I don't think of DK
right.
Metcalf.
I'll be honest with you, I don't think of like disgruntled receiver. I don't think of like, problem child receiver or anything like that, but obviously he's been very frustrated. And I don't think that's a good thing, and here's why. This team passes more than any other team in the league. I mean, this team is putting the ball up to bat a lot. And when you have Geno Smith and this, I don't want to call it air raid in the NFL, but I mean, that's essentially what it is when you're only rushing for 30 yards on 14 carries. You would think receivers are excited about that. Like you would think he's like, man, I'm going to get my opportunities. I got 11 targets in the game, right? And yet it just doesn't seem like that's all kind of come together. You got Kenneth Walker, who actually has 8 catches out of the backfield. And you got DK Metcalf with 3 catches. And it just, the number's not lining up for whatever reason in terms of that passing attack. But I mentioned it. cover three, Raheem Morris will run it. He'll have his opportunities, and Geno Smith will be looking for him. And I know they're kind of dissecting the film to see where this pass defense can kind of be had.
Yeah, you're talking about the passing threat that they have. The Falcons obviously well aware of that. And corner Mike Hughes, he's still looking for this defense to play a complete game.
I think we're still trying to put a complete game together as a defense. And I think we're all trying to we're all gelling together pretty well as we learn each other and each other's strengths. And I think once, you know, coaches put us all in the right positions to be successful, I think we'll be really dangerous. And, you know, it's crazy to say, and I know it might sound cliche, but I really truly believe once we, you know, get everything clicking, we'll be really dangerous.
Oh, I have a guess what he's talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's maybe the pass rush.
Maybe that's. Yeah. You think that's where he's going with it?
I think it might be. And look, I don't think people realize, Tiff, how good the secondary has been, despite the fact that you are dead last in sack rate in the NFL. Let me say that again. You are dead last in sack rate in the NFL. And yet, when you look at passing yards allowed per play, I'm not going to look at it on the whole of the game because situations are different and everything else. You're like top five in terms of passing yards allowed per play. All right, so when you look at it from that angle, an extremely good job, and I love hearing from Mike Hughes. We've talked about it a number of times. He was just kind of like the other guy. AJ's getting his extension. Mike Hughes was new on the block last year. Jeff Okuda was kind of starting. Mike Hughes is playing like a nickel spot. They draft Clark Phillips. They have all these other pieces. You don't address that in the draft, and everybody's like, all right, when are they going to replace Mike Hughes? When is that going to happen? When do they find somebody else? And yet this dude and AJ and this entire secondary have done nothing but kind of step up to bat and make sure they carry the torch for this defense as the, you know, the three defensive linemen you drafted and the Matthew Judon you trade for. As all that happens, you're still not getting much productivity out of those guys up front.
Well, they're going to need it, especially against Seattle. When you look at what went down at practice yesterday and on the injury report, look, you've got Troy Anderson, Lorenzo Carter, and Justin Simmons were not present on the field and were labeled as out on the team's injury report. So we can see how that affects the game. Mm. So they're still trying to put together a complete defensive performance.
Come on,
according
baby,
let's to
go.
Mike Hughes.
Let's
this
go.
Hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan Injured. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. When we come back here on the morning shift, the latest in college football headlines is on the way. On Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on the morning shift, we'll get to some college football in a minute.
I can't get over the fact, Tiff. I can't get over the fact that, and speaking of college football, I'll get Rusty Manziel at 8 o'clock today.
That I wore a bubble coat to work today?
No, well, that too.
Justified.
Well, it's not really the coat. It's the fact that there's a hoodie on underneath it. I was like, oh, it's not.
It's a thin
really
hoodie.
Impressive.
It's not like a...
Yeah,
it's pretty
a little
thin.
Athleisure hoodie, Princeton hoodie. I can't get over the fact that Rusty has a TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I've never felt more dated. And Rusty's a little bit older than us, but not much. And, like, I'm just like, he's got a TikTok, man. Like, I don't know. Like, Rusty and Day-Day are about the same age, right? I'm not far off on that. Do you have a TikTok, Day-Day?
I do, but not for my personal.
Whoa, you have a TikTok?
Not for my personal, but for my Prep Sports Nation. Not for my personal.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's what he uses it for, too, I'm assuming.
Yeah. But he does more videos of him, you know, like to Dylan's point, more. Or was it Tiffany? Who said it? Who brought it up?
Yeah, I was talking about
probably me.
He has more. He does have more content of him doing his interviews and things of that nature,
sure.
Talking about dogs and
he's
all
got
like,
that.
And he has a
serious
a base that,
Rusty.
Yes, like yeah. That spans age groups. And so if you're appealing to probably the younger crowd, although my mother's on TikTok,
what?
I don't
what?
Have it.
Really?
Yes.
What
are
you serious?
Do? Yes. They
like,
just,
I don't even think my dad knows what TikTok is.
Things.
I don't think my dad knows what TikTok is.
Look, I don't know. Like, they look at stories. They like the funny videos that are on there.
But that's what Instagram was for. I don't know, man. I'm just like feeling dated.
I'm with you, though, Mike. It's a little tough to start keeping
up. I got hurt last night, and we'll get into college
football.
You
can only keep up with Instagram. That's it.
I got stung last night. Went to my wife's work. She works at a high school. They did, a little trunk or treat thing throughout the school. You know, stop by classrooms, and they had, their honor society working it. And, one of them was playing tunes. It was playing, I don't know, Casey and the Sunshine Band, something from the 70s, a little upbeat, saxophone, things like that. And I kind of get a little shoulder bounce. My wife goes, don't do that. And the kid goes, no, that's okay. My dad does the same thing. Kid, hey, I ain't your dad's age.
Wow.
I could possibly be. Kid's probably 15. I was like, man, that's
could be.
He stung me. Anyways,
There is a huge matchup going down at Mercedes-Benz Stadium this weekend when Georgia Tech welcomes Notre Dame to town. But there are now some health questions to be asked about Haynes King, Georgia Tech starting QB, and Coach Brent Key. Has been talking about how he's a tough kid, but unfortunately, we did see him leave the fourth quarter of their win against UNC with what appeared to be a right shoulder or some sort of arm injury.
Yeah, unspecified is what they're officially saying, and it just means you just got the crap knocked out of you a few times, and it just. we used to always laugh when I was playing. The things would come out instead of just saying basically it was a vet day, they had to have an injury, and it would just be general body soreness. General body. So he's just old. But obviously in Haynes King's, the way he looks, that's not the thing. But, Brent Key's saying he's day-to-day. Here's why this even is a thing to me, Tiff, because obviously I follow Vegas a little bit. When this line first started out, it was 7.5 or 8. And the further we've gotten into the week, you know how somebody, sometimes your antenna just goes, somebody knows something. All of a sudden, this is an 11. They're 11.5-point underdogs in this one. And obviously, Notre Dame has some holes as well. They've leaned on their defense. Their defense has a number of injuries. Riley Leonard has had his ups and downs. They're trying to get things going offensively. But I'm 11.5 to me just screams 11.5 that Haynes King's not playing. But I hope he does, and I hope he feels a lot better. And I hope
they're going to need him.
Yeah, they're going to need him. And this is one of those midday kind of primetime slots on ESPN where everybody's kind of everybody's kind of looking at Notre Dame to figure out what they are. And I think Bama's kind of in this seat, too, where they've had big wins and then also massive letdown losses. And it's dude, we don't even know which brand of team you are. But right now, we're hoping Georgia Tech can kind of correct that. I'll be rooting for that. You know I'm a Brent Key
fan.
Well,
we talked about, just for him, for Key, just how much of a signature victory this could be, as this program has already turned around when he got here.
Yeah, and you mentioned it during your victory in Which One Wednesday yesterday, your massive defeat over Squidbilly.
It was massive defeat.
He was – honestly, I think you broke him at some point. You did. He was kind of in his feelings.
He's still
he was
recovering.
I don't even,
that's the word on the street.
Yeah, that's the word on the street. He's kind of limping back to the studio. I think that you were spot on, though. You said – because the question was asked, which one would be a bigger victory? Is it Georgia going on the road beat number one? Or is it Georgia Tech beating Brent Key? And the feeling is this could be a signature victory, much in the way we thought week one was against Florida State before we knew what Florida State was. It's now we have a little bit bigger sample size out of Notre Dame. Hopefully they can try to pull this one off.
Also, shout out to Georgia State. They are playing tonight against Marshall. I believe that's the Thursday Night Football game on ESPN.
I think you're right. Speaking
of
victories.
Watch two screens tonight when I'm watching Thursday Night Football and – watching the Panthers.
Yeah. Speaking of victories looking a lot better, how good does their victory look over Vanderbilt right now after beating Kentucky and Bama?
It looks real good now. What was that whole meme thing around?
I try to tell Bama fans, can't lose Vanderbilt. I'm Georgia State beat them, yes, but Vandy is a solid football team, very good football team. So that's looking better and better.
It's just a matter of time, I think, before Del McGee and them get really rolling, and I'm excited to see what the future is.
It's weird because I look at Del McGee. I've met him a few times in his time as a recruiter at Georgia, and I look at him and I'm like, dude, I hope he just settles in there. And I know that, as coaches, you're always kind of looking next big thing, this, that, and the other. I hope he just settles in.
About that, right? Yes. You're in Atlanta.
He likes it there.
This is a great, obviously, recruiting region.
It seems like a match made in heaven.
So
take it the distance, baby.
All right, let's go way out west to a state that I've been shipped off to multiple times, to Oregon. If you recall, Coach Dan Lanning for the Ducks, he intentionally used 12 men on defense against the Buckeyes to help run time off the clock as they closed out the final seconds of their 32-31 win against Ohio State. So he openly admitted it and talked about it. And now the NCAA is closing the loophole that Oregon used to shave off time off that clock. So in a release on Wednesday, the NCAA issued a new rules interpretation on how to handle a penalty for 12 players on the field in the final 2 minutes of either half. If the defense has 12 players actively participate in the down, the offense can choose, along with the 5-yard penalty, to have the game clock reset to the time that had been displayed at snap. Does that make sense?
It does. It's kind of, and I don't remember all the specifics. Maybe one of y'all will. Do you remember when Bill Belichick did something like this a while back? I think he had like his punt team on the field. Maybe they were like doing, it was like false start after false start, and it didn't look like wasn't resetting anything, and they just kept running time off the clock, and the NFL immediately was like, oh crap, like this ain't good. Close the loophole.
Let me ask you this. Do you think if Lanning hadn't, like, I mean, they probably would have recognized what he was trying to do anyway, right? Because everyone was talking about it. Everybody saw it on the internet. But do you think the fact that he came out and was like, yeah, we did it? He didn't say it that brazen.
Yeah, he wasn't. Yeah, he didn't puff like his chest out. This was just a situation we practiced.
yeah, but I don't know. Just open, like, I would have been like, oh, I don't know. It was a mistake.
I don't know. There's a part of you, though, that you're like, I definitely outsmarted the system. I would like a little credit for this.
I don't know. That's fair.
I don't know. But, no, I'm with you. I don't know. They had to do it immediately, though. It's funny because we'll get to the offseason. We'll take a look at man, like, we can't have this deciding games between Ohio State and Oregon. We can't have that, especially after what the last play was for Ohio State. So I'm sure that they were under a little pressure. Got it closed up. Won't see it no more. But hat tip to Dan Lanning for even – noticing that. I mean, that's right? It's pretty clutch.
They play tomorrow. They're the second-ranked team in the land. They play at Purdue.
Big Friday night slate. You got Florida State and Duke. BYU plays somebody else. I can't remember off the top of my head. And then, obviously, they're playing. It's a nice little decent Friday night slate. If you're not heading to a high school football game, you can settle into the couch a little bit.
You can. And I will be on the road this weekend. I've got Wake Forest at UConn. That's on CBS Sports Network. So just plugging myself, you know. But I'll see you guys next week.
Where the GPAs are higher than the points per game.
All right, we come back here. When we come back here on the morning shift, let's get you, we'll hit a reset button and get you set for the Falcons and Seahawks. That's next on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We are in the 7 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Zero Res. Smart, lasting, clean. I wish my voice could not be, like, it sounds very formal right then. Like, whenever we come back, I feel like I need to sound like, hey, yo, everybody. No, I'm just kidding. I would never do that. I'm joking.
Listen, I had to host, few days ago, and like, I'm pretty sure people will probably welcome your soothing sounds because I'm just coming in going, what is up? What is up at 7? A little bit juice, but man.
Slightly.
I'm also mad at you right now because I told you last segment to remind me to do something, and it's not your job to do it, but both of us forgot. And I was like, you know what? I need to tell people that I'm going to be at Dudley's in Lithonia on Saturday night from 5 to 7, doing a little Texas-Georgia preview. I mean, obviously, it's a Texas-Georgia like tailgate, but Bama and Tennessee will be on the TV, so I'm just vibing out from all angles. So if you're going to be around, hit me up. We'll be down in Dudley's on Saturday evening to get a little bit rowdy for some college football action. So, it's going to be an interesting weekend from that standpoint, but, man, I'm looking forward to seeing the people, man, getting out there and having some fun Saturday night.
And then you'll be ready for Sunday too, right? Mm. That'll help you lead into the Falcons-Seahawks game.
Yeah. Go home. Go to sleep. Falcons-Seahawks. Game time.
Boom. So I won't say that I can like predict the future or know what's coming in the show that I am a part of, but I'm looking at the cut sheet, and that's what we call it when we look at this sheet and we pick sound bites to play for you all. And on this cut sheet, there's a number 4, and it says Coach Raheem Morris, when asked about DK Metcalf having a fumbling problem, which I did bring that up earlier in the show, per the Seattle Times, pointing out that he needs to take better care of the football. And yeah. DK called himself out for that. 3 fumbles, I think he said he's been a part of this season. So let's hear Raheem Morris on, if it is a problem.
You know, the reason he has the fumbles, obviously he plays hard. And right. He plays
with the extra yard.
He plays with extra effort, and he plays that way. And that's how he's always been. And, like, it's our job to still go try to force those turnovers on everybody, not just one man, but, like, as many as we can get to get the ball back to our offense to create short fields.
That was Coach Raheem Morris on our Dukes and Bell. I find that interesting.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe they are talking about it internally, making it maybe more of a bigger deal. I don't know. You've been in meetings before, not on the defensive side of the ball, but is there stuff that you've picked up on before?
Sure.
Where it's like, they'll say, you know, whatever outside, but then it's like, yo, we know this guy. Maybe something fumbles or in his head. We can maybe take it to him.
And you know, obviously, Nate Landman, a couple forced fumbles, although both of them kind of go out of bounds. And then you look at Jesse Bates, whose right hook is just as nasty as like Mike Tyson in his prime right now, knocking the ball out. And so I think when you look at it from that angle, there's a lot to be had there. We've already talked about the fact that Seattle is a pass-happy team, and their success rate usually comes from passing the ball. Tiff, I'll let you in on this insight. When I was in college, we didn't talk about the other team's players. Like, it wasn't a thing. And I don't know if it was, like, a Saban thing or, like, whatever, but we just never, like, talked about their guys. It was just like, you just
worried about us.
Yeah, focus on what you do. You do your job.
So that wasn't just talk when a coach says that.
Right.
I mean, I know teams are, but.
But in the NFL, it's a little bit different. Like, I get here, and, like, one of the first things we do is, like, Julius Peppers' picture on screen. You're like, if we don't block this guy, it's going to be a long day. And I think you have to do that. I think Mike Smith and Mike Mularkey and all those guys were right to do that, because it's like, if you don't talk about what these dudes do well, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter how good you are, that guy will mess you up. That guy's a Hall of Famer, right? And so it's a little bit different. But I am assuming that at some point, at least in the DB room, you probably put DK Metcalf on the screen, talk about how big he is, talk about how fast he is, but also include the fumbling problem. Right, or lack thereof, whatever you want to look at it as. He has been a guy that obviously 11 targets, was not able to come down with a big touchdown last weekend, but 3 catches on 11 targets last week. It's something that he's obviously struggled with at times, and I just know that this is an opportunistic defense, and it's one of these groups that really wants to get things going in terms of takeaways because, as we've talked about, you don't have the sacks.
This is also true, and they do want to get things going. It might be maybe a little more challenging this weekend, considering some of the injuries that are going on. So when you look at the injury report from yesterday, you had linebacker Troy Anderson, you had Lorenzo Carter, both of those guys not present on the field, labeled as out on the team's injury report. Also in that mix was Justin Simmons, their safety. But back to the linebackers, though, they really want to get their guys back. Here's Coach Morris again talking about the linebackers.
Can't wait for them to get back. I like problems, you know, like those are really good problems. We talked about in the beginning of the year, how do you play all 3 of those guys? And we kind of started doing some things and playing with packages and getting them in there certain stops and making them really compete and get at a high level and get to go out there and play. So, like, when he gets back, that fires us up. I mean, JD's thrown himself into the mix. So, like, the more things you can have for people, the more opportunities you can provide for your guys and your players, the harder the guys go, the better practice is, the more competitive the nature is. You know, we got a competitive deal just in our own personal department that you work in. You know, you guys write, everybody's writing over there is awesome. And then I can't wait to read you guys' articles. I don't read anything. I'm just joking.
I don't read that stuff.
He's listening right now.
I don't read it.
He's probably not.
Yeah. You got to read the articles. You mean to tell me Raheem Morris is not reading the game previews? You know what I'm saying?
He watches the one on NFL Network.
Yeah, the 5-minute breakdown.
Yeah, with the guy Rhymes.
the guy's got his little funny quips that he throws out there.
Wait, can we have some fun here? Am I allowed to?
No.
No?
No fun. This is no fun zone.
I was going to have fun.
What are you wearing?
What? Dude, it's already been a topic of conversation.
My she sweatshirt? Came in here
ripping LSU today. You know what? I'm sorry. Actually, let me start over. Yes, you can because I deserve every bit of it.
Good. Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I wanted to have a slow clap going when you walked in. But
I was this close to putting it on
the
socials.
I'm usually the number one offender. You know when someone's like bad about things and then they see somebody else fall down like with them?
Yeah, they want misery loves company.
Misery loves company? Yeah. No.
You're a pile jumper. It's okay.
Oh, man.
I'm not late a lot, but when
never.
I am,
I thought something
I
was
go
wrong.
Overboard.
Yeah, you're like, if I'm gonna do it, I might as well get my Z's.
There was something wrong. I overslept. Yeah. I did not
I was
wake
like,
up.
He's not answering. I was like, good to have you here with us,
thanks.
Buddy.
I know that you're kidding, and you don't bother me. The shame I have, like I feel like the walk of shame, but I did the drive of shame because I had to drive with the regular
so
people
bad.
In traffic. I just
try
feel,
with sweatpants and heels. No,
I mean,
just kidding.
Yeah,
well, just kidding, just kidding.
I'm not, man. I could go in there, but I feel like I just walked across the campus with no shirt on, in my boxers, with like one shoe on, and not knowing which direction to go.
Yeah,
that's you're here.
No, there's no doubt about that, and that's a bad feeling. I know that everybody out there listening has felt that before too. So.
You had a question?
Yeah, I'm going to get back. I want to get back to the Seahawks really quick because I think Bo can kind of answer this. Yeah. And when we look at this matchup, and you just talked about Tiff in the injury report, Troy Anderson, Justin Simmons. When I think
that's
of
that's just the defense, right?
Right, yeah. Right. Well, when I think of that and I think of what their running game is, but more than that, what Kenneth Walker means in the passing game. So, Kenneth Walker last week on Thursday Night Football against the Niners, 14 rushes for 32 yards. Not good. 8 catches for 37 yards. I also look at what Carolina tried to do to Nate Landman in the passing game last week. What did they do? They bring in Miles Sanders, who I think only had one touch in the backfield, but they put him on a passing route and get him matched up with Nate Landman. They saw an opportunity to do that. I am curious how Raheem Morris and Jimmy Lake will go about defending Kenneth Walker out of the backfield in the passing game. It's obviously a pass-happy attack, and you have to be able to do that. But when I hear Justin Simmons, when I hear Troy Anderson, guys that would be great options to be able to kind of negate that out of the backfield, that kind of starts to raise an antenna for me.
Well, I feel differently about those two players as far as their health goes. I think Justin Simmons will play Sunday. If you had to ask me today, which you kind of just did, if I think Justin Simmons will play, I would tell you yes. Troy Anderson, I'm not so confident on. I also think all of that depends on where they're at. Like that, Miles Sanders was Carolina's third down running back, and every third down he came in, it was clear that is their usage of Miles Sanders. You could see it immediately through like a quarter. That's the only reason they're using him. When it comes to Charbonnet and Kenneth Walker, they kind of use them the same. They really split between those two. I don't think Charbonnet is getting enough credit in the Atlanta media right now. Everybody's talking about Kenneth Walker. Hell, I'm just as worried about Zach Charbonnet as I am Kenneth Walker because I think they're very similar in their usage or the lack of usage that Seattle has for them in the run game.
You sound like somebody that owns him on your fantasy team. You sound like somebody that owns Zach
okay,
Charbonnet.
Well, let
do you own him on your fantasy team?
I do.
Okay, I'm just
I do,
checking.
But listen.
Truth comes out.
One has 51 touches on the ground and one has 49. One has 5 touchdowns on the ground. The other has 3. One has 21 catches. The other has 19. So while Kenneth Walker is more productive in the running game, Zach Charbonnet is actually more productive in the passing game as far as the yards he gets out of his catches. When it comes to – I would hope that we've done a good job on first and second down and we have them in 3rd and 7 to where I don't really care which linebacker is on them, that we're able to kind of give them that 4 to 5 yards and just get them to the ground. Because I can tell you one thing, Nate Landman is as sure of a tackler as you're going to get. And he lights you up. The physicality that he brings to the defense is unmatched in the linebacker room. That's why his injury was so much more important than people realized through the first 4 or 5 games. I think that's part of the reason the run game was gashed to the point that it was. And you saw last week that they were able to they were able to rein that in a little bit. Because you can talk about who Carolina was missing or wasn't missing on the offensive line. They are still a decent enough offensive line to get going in the run game. And you kind of, other than that one drive they didn't really do that to that point.
Yeah.
Well, the good news is Coach Morris did say that Troy Anderson is trending in the right direction and that he's progressing. So we'll see if maybe they can get him back this weekend. We're going to stick with the NFL, and we're going in the huddle. Lots of trades went down on Monday, but which player is going to make an immediate impact this weekend? We'll tell you next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're getting you set to go in the huddle, but we were just talking about it in the break. I think everyone can be happy about this. Like the Federal Trade Commission now has a click to cancel rule. All those times where like you could sign up for something and really easily, but then when you tried to cancel it or quit it, you could never find a link to quit it. There's a certain gym down here that starts with like an X kind of thing, and they did that crap to me.
I think it's all gyms.
It's all gyms, right?
There's one that starts with an L, has been getting $10 a month for me for an account for Amy because I was too lazy to mail a letter. Because you had to mail a letter.
There used to be a gym that would make you do it in person. And it was basically so that they could guilt you and be like, well, don't you, have you reached your fitness goals?
Let me tell you something. If it's in person, that's easy for me. I have no problem being a jerk to human beings in person. It's when I got to write a letter is what drives me nuts.
Well, the sales dude told me, oh, yeah, you could anytime, lied in person. You can quit anytime. So for a whole year, I never went back to them.
Well, he's not wrong.
But was still paying for it.
Hold on, he didn't lie to you. You could have quit.
He omitted.
You just couldn't quit the gym.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And then I needed to be like, if you want to get out of this, show us proof that you're moving. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. You need you're that hard pressed for this. You know, I can't say enough bad things about that place.
I don't want to get off track, but when you guys went to college, did you ever sign up for things that you knew you shouldn't have done? Like, I remember walking into the student center at Kennesaw State, and they had a credit card company. And it was like, if you sign up for this credit card, you get this free Kennesaw State shirt with Scrappy on the back. And I'm 18.
Scam. I never did that.
I'm 18 years old. I'm like, oh, I want a Scrappy T-shirt.
Dude.
And so I got it. The credit card came to my house, and my mom could probably go to jail for this. I think she committed mail fraud. Because
she opened it up.
She opened it because she saw the company, and she saw my name on it. She opened it. She hid that credit card from me for years.
Oh, probably helped your credit.
That's good.
No, it did help. No, I'm grateful at this point. But I was like, I've had free money for this whole time, and you've been hiding
free
it from
money.
Me.
I had my story like that is I had a game day apartment in Tuscaloosa. When I got done playing ball, I was like, I'm going to get a game day apartment, like right next to the stadium. And the reviews for this rental company were as like terrible as you can possibly think of. It was all based on location for this rental company. So I go through this. I had this lease for like 3 years, game day apartment, Tuscaloosa. I mean, 150 yards from the stadium over there from Bryant Denny. And so things started like it had to have been a 60-year-old apartment. Things were breaking, closet doors falling off, the door handles not working, like sinks breaking. And I'm like, man, I'm only here like 8 weekends out of the year max, right? I'm not going to call and have the rental company come during the week and fix all this stuff. So I just kind of put the closet door to the side, put the doorknob to the side. When I left and my lease ended, dude, they charged me for every single repair. They're like $50 to repair the closet door, $35 to repair for a new doorknob. I was like, what the? I was like, dude, how can you charge me $250 for stuff that's y'all's old crap? And it's because I didn't report it at the time, man.
Oh, yeah, you gotta report stuff.
Dude, predatory, man. Don't do that. I'm just telling you.
I know.
So shout out to the click to cancel. Love it.
Same. All right, let's go in the huddle. So could the Falcons have like a X factor, a secret weapon for them this weekend? I'm asking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Possibly, yes. And he probably won't even see the field.
What?
You hope he doesn't see
Are you
the
teasing?
Field.
Camouflage? The secret agent?
No, I'm not teasing.
No, I mean, I'm saying, are you just teasing it? Or are we going to talk about this?
No, I'm just kind of setting the guy to my right up, which is today you, and you're normally to my left, but that's what happens when you don't show up on time.
I asked them before you got here. I said, should I move? And then I was like, no, straight Wolf of Wall Street. I ain't leaving.
I said, absolutely.
Coming out of this chair.
I said, well, you should absolutely.
I will be filing a ticket with engineering today because I can only hear out of one side of my ear.
It's so bad over there.
Oh, it's happening.
It's so bad
over there. It's
happening. No, man, like we in the conversation about Ryan Grubb, we've talked about how pass happy that offense is in Seattle. And Ryan Grubb, obviously, the offense coordinator last year for Michael Penix and Kalen DeBoer up in Washington. So it will be interesting to see, if anything, because I think there are concepts and things that obviously Michael Penix can point out.
Well, that's what I want to ask you. Do you think, now I would have, but you think Jimmy Lake and Ra were like, Michael, be in the office at Monday morning at 8 a.m.
Oh, for sure.
And then they're going to sit him down and be like, Do you recognize this?
Yeah.
Do you recognize this formation? Yes. Do you hear this call?
Why
did you
is
use
he,
that?
Why is he doing this? Why is he breaking this route off at the top?
It's like,
why is he running the comeback at 5 yards when they need eight to gain?
Have you ever seen this motion? Is this the man?
Like, DK Metcalf, you know, the lip readers. Why can't we, like he was talking to Ryan Grubb on the headset, can we run past the sticks, please? Can we throw past the sticks?
Maybe he was, but, you know, Coach Morris, he was asked if Penix is doing that, helping them to prepare for Grubbs.
Tell Grubb, man, we got Michael Penix in the room right now. We didn't let him out for 3 days. We got a light in his face shining on him, man, making us give us everything, man. We got every signal, so make sure he changed every single signal. No, I'm just kidding, man. Obviously, he talks about the stuff that he knows from when he played for the guy in college and some of the mentality and things of that nature, but... You know, everybody in National Football League questioning guys that played on different teams and be able to talk about those things and having the guy that he coached last year and did a heck of a job with that we got a lot of fondness for, obviously. We got a lot of respect for Grubbs and what he's been doing.
And it's tendencies, right? Hey, what was it? What did you guys like to do on third and two? Like, you know, or if there was, you know, if he got to second and one around the 45 of either side of the field, what was the percentage? Now in Washington's offense, probably extremely high. What was the percentage you take a shot downfield?
Right,
and because that was and that's honestly what he's brought to Seattle is a lot of that. That's why you see the running game. I mean, their two running backs combined. Our second string running back has as many carries, which is Tyler Algier would be considered our second option, literally has the same amount of carries that Kenneth Walker does, and he's their leading rusher.
I just don't know. I'd be curious to know how much you actually gain from Michael Penix in this situation. Like you said, it's more mentality and like which ways you lean, but like it'd be like, I mean, I guess it's kind of a bad thing, but you know, Baker Mayfield knows Zach Robinson. It'd be kind of like Baker Mayfield, well, what is Zach Robinson? Well, it's like, I don't know.
I disagree with that aspect. Does he know Zach Robinson? Zach Robinson wasn't calling plays for him.
Sure.
Zach Robinson was just sitting in a room with Baker Mayfield for maybe 4 weeks at the end of a season saying, yeah, I'd have thrown it there. Oh, I'd run it there. Or, man, I love to do this. That's about it. This is a guy he was with for a significant amount of time where he coached him, called his plays, molded him, you know?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I mean, it's different. Does
want
that make
everyone
sense?
Out there to know.
Heard you making fun
how do
of me
I
earlier.
File workers' comp? How do I file workers' comp? I wanted everyone to hear that sound so bad.
Did you hurt yourself?
Because Dylan
the cord?
Can't hear me, so I'm trying to get his attention to play the sound, play the Raheem sound on Grubbs, and I almost died on Mike's fan contraption.
Oh, I thought it was my charger
and his
cord.
Computer
I think you broke
cord.
My charger cord too.
I broke it.
Yeah, maybe it's not charging. Let me see. Nope,
oh,
that's broke.
Wait,
I need you to buy me a new one.
What? talk to my agent. Hey, your source. I'm joking. Wow. No, anyone can say that as a joke. It's
hey,
a joke.
Dylan.
Oh, come on.
Clip that. As many. Hold on a second. Hold
yes.
on a second.
Come
do
on.
You
that's
know,
a joke.
Do you know
as
how
if
many
you are
cuts?
Already big time black
no,
man
it's
here.
A joke. Come on. How many people say that jokingly without an agent? People say that all the time.
All right.
It's an expression.
Can I honestly say I don't ever
I'm
said that.
I'm just saying that
people
needs to be clipped.
All the time.
There are about 70 cuts of me talking about my meat in that computer because Bo
accurate.
Johnson on the Steakhouse played every freaking one of them yesterday in succession.
That's
I mean, I'm listening to the Steakhouse in the car wash, and I'm like, oh my God, this is uncomfortable. How many times I've said the word meat?
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Yeah, and how mine taste?
It's a joke. Okay,
yeah.
All right.
We know.
Davante Adams traded to the Jets. From the Raiders, and yes, coach, the interim coach, Jeff Ulbrich, did confirm to reporters that he is expected to play against the Steelers on Sunday Night Football. That broadcast, how lucky are they for the hype
goodness.
Of – can you not wait for all the hype videos of Aaron Rodgers and Devontae flashing back to their days of the Packers and now transitioning into Jets uniform?
I can wait. Although, I'll tell you this, the package they had last week of him throwing the Hail Marys that leads right into a Hail Mary was awesome.
That was really cool.
But, I mean, it is what it is. That'll be kind of interesting to see how that dynamic is. Also, you know, how does the rest of the receiving core react? You know, we talked about it yesterday with Charles Davis. And how does the rest of that receiving core react with some of the targets that Devontae Adams have when he just has like 1 foot in the door? So,
you know, what's weird to me is how the NFL has doubled up teams on prime times. Like the Falcons played a Monday night game and then turned around and played a Sunday night game. The Jets played a Monday night game and now turn around and play a Sunday night game.
I know we got to get a break, but I have been wanting to ask you all this for the last couple of days. Does it concern you? How? What is your level of concern that Seattle's coming off a Thursday night game? Like, I think that's a bigger deal than people realize, dude.
It's like playing a team off a bye, essentially.
I mentioned it last time, though, because it was to me, it was only a big deal because the Falcons won their Thursday night game. I don't know that you get as much of a mental break when you lose, especially off a three-game losing streak the way they did.
Yeah, you had
this. True.
It sat with you, but also you did have an extra couple of days, and I say the coaching staff, to kind of look at what they've done and what's not working, and then prepare for us, which is why I think, you know, you could see Kenneth Walker get the ball a lot more on the ground.
Georgia and Texas, that Ooh. Showdown is going down on Saturday. We've got you your preview for that matchup, and we've got a mic'd up coming up.
Yeah, short mic'd up coming up. Last night, did a little trunk or treat action. My son had a group of people cheer for him for the first time over an athletic achievement. I'll tell you what he did and how excited he was to see the reaction. That's coming up next on Mic'd Up Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game. Bo, we're glad you're here.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. All right, we'll get to that mic'd up, but college football on deck and what could you call this? I mean, this could be one of the biggest matchups of the season in Texas and Georgia.
Could be an elimination game,
and
Tiff.
It could also be that, for one which team. Makes it one of the biggest matches. I just wanted to,
Yeah.
We've got honestly
for no reason, but I mean it is going to be a good matchup.
You kind of got back-to-back elimination games on the possibility because
they all feel like elimination games at this point, other than Texas.
Do you guys agree that whoever plays in the SEC championship game, both teams are in?
Ooh.
Because I think if you have a undefeated Texas and a one loss,
Texas being in the SEC just throws me off every time.
Now, this is obviously odd to say it like this, but I think if you have 2 1-loss teams, they're both in. So say if Georgia goes,
sure.
if Georgia yeah, goes and beats Texas in Austin, and then finishes the season with only the loss to Alabama, there's no way they're not in the college football playoff. There's
Wait, Alabama
none.
Though. What about?
Well,
they've got the loss to Tennessee. No,
Vanderbilt.
Excuse me.
Built. And
Vanderbilt. What do you say?
Vanderbilt.
He always says Vanderbilt.
But here's the deal. If Alabama, now let's just say Georgia beats Texas, and then Alabama and Georgia went out, they play in the SEC championship game, and Texas only has one loss. Now, see, that's how you could get three in. But look at it this way. There's no way that Alabama plays Georgia in the SEC championship game and does not go to the college football playoff.
Yeah, I agree.
Win or loss.
I agree. I'll agree.
Let me ask you guys this. Do you guys have any idea who is leading the SEC right now without looking it up?
Well,
do you have any idea who's in first place?
It depends on what you're going by, but I would say it has to be probably Texas with one win in the SEC. They're 1-0 in the SEC.
Texas 2-0 in the SEC.
2-0. Who's
the Does that help?
Who's the other one?
Oh, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
See?
I know.
See, this
weird.
World
it's
we're living.
Weird.
Oklahoma playing South Carolina's weekend's weird,
it's
too.
It's wild.
You know what's weird for me is I recognize Texas as a SEC member, but I can't grasp Oklahoma yet for some reason.
I still can't grasp Missouri, so good for you. Like, every time I look at Missouri,
what?
I'm like, oh, yeah.
Well, they beat Florida enough in games that I've gotten
like
used to it.
I feel like Missouri's been in the SEC long 12
years.
Enough. To,
12 years.
Yeah, so it
but it's just not – so I didn't play against them. Okay. And that's for
so
whatever reason,
you.
I'm wired in there. I remember Texas A&M because I remember Johnny Manziel going to Tuscaloosa and beating Bama in 2012. And I was like, man, that was like the first year. But Missouri just never registers to me. I don't know what it is.
I remember talking about them in the Big 12 when I was working my way up and then living in Waco.
Yes. And then at the same time, I played with William Moore, Sean Weatherspoon, Atlanta. Like, it just never was a thing.
Never.
Back to my question, though. Neither one of y'all, both of y'all give up. No idea who's first place in the SEC.
Yeah,
Hold on.
I'll tell you their SEC record.
Is it Vanderbilt? Because they haven't lost in the SEC, have they?
No. They did. They lost to Mizzou.
Oh, that's right. I don't know.
3-0 in the SEC. It's Texas A&M. How about that? Texas A&M is 3-0 in the SEC.
Let me tell you something.
With a loss to Notre Dame.
Did I see something about Elko being up in the conversation for a coach of the year kind of thing? I saw some headline yesterday.
Should be.
This is a jerk 100%. Question. Don't answer it.
Okay.
Have you watched Texas A&M play lately? Because I'm going to tell you something. I know you're working, so
no,
you
go
can't.
Ahead. I'm not
But I'm going to tell you something. They are as physical up front as you can get for an SEC. I mean, they're not Texas because of the personnel. Like, they don't have, I think, the depth.
Yeah.
But their edge players on their defensive line will get they're gata.
Yeah.
They'll get after their ass. Right?
I have a question. I have a question before we get to mic'd up. That's totally off topic. Bo is wearing an IPA hat, and I feel like that is the beer hat, like the Rob Lowe of beer hats. When he wore just the NFL hat at a game. Okay, there we go. All right.
I'll turn it around for you. It's my
now
new
I
round
see what
hat.
You're they oh, sent no, me some, I gave you a chance to plug.
They sent
something.
Me some swag. But now I will say that the Owl Inn Craft Lager.
I was going to say it's not an IPA because I asked you. It's not an IPA. First question I asked.
You know what's the funny thing about that? Is I was so mad. You're like, hey, can I ask you a question on the spot? Yeah. Yeah, it's on the air, Tiff. I don't think it was a Friday. I don't think you were here. And he goes, is it an IPA? I go, yeah, no. It's a craft lager.
Get out of here.
All right, man. Hey, let's hit this mic'd up. Tis the season for the old trunk or treat. If you have kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about, where you just go to these random places and the kids just walk around and dress up and people throw things in their bucket and their bags and they have candy and they get a sugar rush for like 2 hours. So a lot of fun. Last night, went over to my wife's school where she works. Did a little trunk or treat action where you kind of go around to the classrooms. Big crowd, like whole gymnasium full of people, right, that had brought their kids from the community and things like that. So it was a really fun event. So shout out to everybody that put that on. Two things happened during this event, though, that kind of caught me off guard. Number one, little girl, and I still don't know, I don't know how this happened. And I hopefully her dad did not think I was being mean. But this little girl in a Pikachu outfit walks up, very soft-spokenly goes, no, Ty.
Who?
Pikachu.
What is that? Like
Pokemon.
Oh. Right? And she goes, but Ty. And I was like, hey, how's it going? You know, she's probably like, I don't know, five.
I know what you're saying. How did you not know what she was saying?
I didn't. Well, I mean, like, all these kids are going around screaming, eating candy. And I looked at her, I said, what's that? And she goes, Roll Tide. And I was like, oh, hey, yeah, thank you, Roll Tide. Kind of looked at her dad. Dad kind of gives me a head nod. I was like, hey, man, have a good day. You know what I mean? Turns around, back of his hat says Roll Tide. I was like, okay, perfect. So she knows what's going on here. So shout out to that dad. I never got a chance to meet him. Kind of gave him just a little head nod from a ways off. But that was pretty cool. All right, so they had this event, Trunk or Treat. All right, and so what they did is they kind of made it cool for the kids where each station you go to, there's like an activity before you get your candy, right? So my son rolls up, all these high school kids, they handed him one of those little, like, little tiny little basketballs, and there's a basketball hoop hanging from a door of this classroom. And they hand him the ball. They're like, hey, young man, would you
dunk
like some
it.
Candy?
No, I'm just kidding. Sorry.
Get up here and shoot this shot. See if you can get this candy. My son is four, dude. Like he's awkwardly left-handed, too. So, like, it's not like he's got, you know what I'm saying? Dude,
how tall was the goal?
Just kidding.
Door height, 7 feet, 8 feet, whatever.
So he was already halfway there.
Just about right. So my son rolls up, man, having never really shot a basketball in his life. And when I tell you the backward spin off this man's left-handed jumper, and I mean nothing but net, dude, drained it. These kids, there's probably, I don't know, 10 teenagers standing around and some other kids and parents. Ah!
I know.
Lost their mind, dude. To the point that it startled my 4-year-old son. To the point that it startled him. And he kind of turned around. I'm standing like 8 feet away. And he looks at me. And he's scared. And then all of a sudden, this smile, like the Grinch, comes across his face. Like where it just spins all the way through his cheek. And he sprinted at me and grabbed my leg. And he was like, did you see that? And I was like, dude. All right, we're going. Is it Duke or North Carolina? I don't know which one. We're going to Duke or North Carolina. I don't know.
Did y'all
left-handed
pick him up
jumper.
And carry him out like Rudy?
Well, dude, and honestly, I think that's what he thought was about to happen. But his look on his face, and then he goes, Daddy, did you see that? And I was like, dude, that was the first time anybody, sporting-wise or period, has ever cheered for him. And the look across his face was just sheer, just like, just joy.
And more importantly, he gets candy.
Yes. And he just like, he tore that Kit Kat they handed him, he tore that thing a new one when he walked out of that room.
Hey, Mike,
he walked out of there like he was John Stockton.
He's going to replace Dylan on his rec team.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny you say that. I was just going to say, if he really does want to pursue basketball, I got you on the free lessons, man.
Okay. That's not my forte, I tell you. Look, it's not my forte.
It's right up my alley. I got you.
Dylan will teach him how to not play defense.
So you're always hating on this man. I won't let you do that. Disrespect this man.
And choke on his free throws.
First of all, I'm a lockdown defender. I'm easily.
Look at the length of this.
I'm easily one of the best defenders on the court. I play great defense. I take pride in defense.
Look at the size of Dylan's hands.
I always,
it's like a Calvin Johnson's mom that's been going
I always guard whoever is the best player during our rec league games, and even pickup, I always guard the best player.
So you're the Ben Simmons of this squad?
No, I have offensive prowess as well.
Anyways, man, that's Mike. My son, I'm telling you, it lit a fire inside this young man. And he's now I just like UConn. What are we doing? You know what I mean? Is it, you know?
UConn, I don't know. I mean, yeah. So you're just going to put him on the number one team in the
camp? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, now our options are open. Now we got 14 years to situate this
just
thing.
Just have Rusty film him on his TikTok and then spread it to the masses. And then, boom, there you go. We can probably talk to him about that.
That's a great point.
Because Rusty, not only is he the high school football and college football and everything football and sport football guru, or sport football, did I say that?
Sport football guru. Yeah.
He's also a social media king. So,
yes, he is. And he'll be joining us at 8:20 today. I cannot wait to talk to him.
Yes, he will be joining us at 8:20 today. But up next, we'll get you set for Falcons and Seahawks. Stay with us here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are in our 8 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Falcons, Seahawks on deck for you this weekend. I see Bo's already got his depth chart out.
Spotter's chart.
Yeah, been making my notes, Tiff.
He's been working on his finger pointing for Wes and Dave. You know what I mean? Where he's like, how quick can I get there? Right here. That's not making fun. You're laughing like I'm making fun of him. No, that's what he does.
The look he gave you is what I'm kind of laughing at, because like it's not.
Oh, he's trying to diagnose if I'm making fun of him.
Not disrespectful.
It feels disrespectful.
You're on the spot. You're doing the thing.
I do more than just spot in that booth, Dylan.
What?
Dylan.
He needs your
I had
backup.
To put my headphones on. But yes, you do a lot more than just spot bowl. You are a man of multiple hats in that booth.
Friend. I would tell you if I was trying to disrespect you, which I do all the time, but that was not one of them.
I'll have you know I run that network.
Is that what it is?
You run the Falcons Radio Network.
I do.
He is the EP.
Yeah, I'm the EP. I'm the EP of the entire network, not just.
It was how you said it. It was the delivery.
Some people have added titles to. We apparently have EPs all over the network these days, but I'm the actual EP of the network, and Dylan is my right-hand man. Everything.
I have noticed an EP tag flying around this station at some points here recently that I was like, interesting. I didn't know that was a title.
Yeah, apparently people are just handing them out to themselves. I'm not really sure, but yeah. Dylan is as vital to the radio network as
anyone.
Don't
I know it?
That's right.
Don't I know it?
That's because right. he's like my lifeline. If I don't see something. Because, and I don't want to get too much in the weeds. I'm going to pull a mic here. I don't want to get too much in the weeds.
You don't want to get too much in the weeds?
But
you're going to anyways.
But the TV people, your people, Tiff, have made
don't
this.
You people,
they've taken
us.
An easy process to where you knew when a timeout would be, and they've added these breaks that basically they exist, but you don't know when they're going to come. And we have to rely on a TV producer to throw to them. And then that's when we go.
You people. What do you mean you people?
Yeah, you TV people. Anyways.
I think you just run things because you can see.
I run things because I'm the freaking man. Oh, her?
What?
You're just trying to get mad at me right now. I'm on your side here.
It's because you're in
I'm building you up.
You know why? Because I'm mad at myself right now.
You're in defense mode right now.
I'm mad at me.
I'm mad.
If I was sitting in a chair or on a couch, and it was some guy who thought they were smarter than everybody and was giving out advice, he would say, you're not mad at Mike or Tiffany. You're mad at Bo.
Yeah.
And I know I am because I overslept.
Yeah.
3 hours,
you're
too.
You're mad at yourself.
I mean, that's when you think about it. People would be like, oh, man, you overslept by, like, what, 45 minutes? Nah, dude. I overslept by 3 hours.
You said your body needed it.
As a wise man once said, sometimes it just be like that. And this is one of those days where sometimes it just is. So, yeah.
You will be
in the booth pointing. And helping and running things on Sunday. That's all I was trying to say.
I hope I'm not pointing to A.J. Terrell on a tackle where D.K. Metcalf made a catch down the field, because D.K. has done he's only played 3 games against us, which shows you and his numbers are going to – you're going to hear his numbers. You're going to be like, huh, one number stands out more than the others. He's only got 12 catches in 3 games. Which I think is maybe five.
Three last week, yeah.
Yeah, against us. 172 yards, but for 4 touchdowns. And that's the one that he's done a good job of getting in the end zone. But that just shows you that they go to him in that red area, you know, for the jump balls and stuff. But hopefully, you know, AJ did a pretty good job. I know he had a touchdown against Deontay Johnson last week. By the way.
By the way.
Deontay Johnson never shut up.
I knew what you were about to say, dude, because he was, woo.
I've got, so I have the field goggles. I got binoculars to see some stuff to help Wes with spotting. And the only thing I saw all afternoon was Deontay Johnson running his mouth. Every time there was a penalty, he was jawing at the referee. Every play, whether he was in it or not, whether it was a loss or not, he was jawing. I know AJ's, his ear was probably worn out.
Maybe it keeps him in the game. I don't know.
Look, that's one way to look at it. It got him booted from Pittsburgh, I can tell you that much.
Well, booted is one thing. Now, I will say, I mean, he's had ups and downs at the quarterback spot. You got to find some kind of level of ferocity when you're going to keep yourself plugged in. And you don't want to do what DK Metcalf is doing, which is obviously jawing and kind of feuding with his quarterback. And
or the OC.
So, yeah. So that's one way to look at it. No, I mean, I just think that when you look at this matchup, when you look at the passing game, and I mentioned this stat earlier, when you look at the amount of success they've had, all right, with pressure, Geno Smith, 78% of his passes. I mean, I'm sorry, without pressure, Geno Smith, 78% completion. That's fourth. With pressure, 52%. All right, we have to find a way to get home. We had to find a way to be able to get home this weekend. We know they're going to pass it. They're not the kind of team where we've looked at in the past, where like Baker Mayfield, we're like, man, he's going to get it out. He has an offensive line that struggled at times, particularly at right guard, and hopefully we can step up in that situation and be able to do some things that really affect Geno Smith.
No, I completely agree. I've heard people say that our defense isn't aggressive enough, and I completely disagree. I think they're sending blitzes a lot more than people realize. Do you agree? Because I got this cut from Raheem about who he thinks one of their best pass rushers has been this year. But do you agree that people don't know necessarily that they're blitzing unless they see a DB coming off the edge? Like, when you send linebackers, I don't think at times I catch it, they actually sent someone there.
Do you mean like people just watching? Can they diagnose it without a DB? I don't know. I mean,
because I don't think people understand it. When you send a middle linebacker, that's a blitz most of the time. And when you do a zone blitz, you'll drop someone out, but you're still sending people. Sure. But when Ra talked about with Mike and Carl yesterday, because Mike and Carl were trying to point out where they're not getting rushed from, and Arnold Ebiketie's name has came up, and Mike straight up asked him. Raheem's answer completely shocked me about what he said about Ebiketie so far this year.
AK has actually been one of our better pass rushers this year, and what he's been able to do, and he's been kind of playing sparingly, and he's got more and more play time as we go. To now, he's one of the lead dog guys to go out there with Matthew Judon and try to get after the quarterback, especially pass rush situation. So we got to get more opportunities for him to do that, you know. And last game we had, I believe it was 13 hits. I think this is a PFF grade, but, you know, I forget the exact number right now because we're almost a week removed. But we had 13 hits. We had three hits on We had three hits on a quarterback and 13 rushes and hurries or whatever you want to call it. So we actually did a better job of rushing the passer. We just didn't finish it, right? We fell off one for a 20-yard scramble. I took away a sack with the second and 10, taking a penalty and making it second and 20, which I didn't know at the time. And then actually we hit the quarterback a couple other times and we couldn't get him to the ground.
So I heard that cut, and I want you to finish, but I heard that cut and I heard what he said about that. So I wanted to look up on PFF what Arnold Ebiketie was. He ranks as the 42nd edge defender in the NFL right now.
It's not very good.
No, it's not great. It's better than I thought it was, though, is what I'll say.
He said that if you hear the beginning of the cut, he says, well, we didn't use him a lot early. And he's kind of – it tells me that he kind of had to earn him – a lot like Rukurororo has earned himself an active spot, and he's now earning him spot. Sure. He's earned himself keeping it by his play on the field, because now he's joined McGrady Jarrett. And as Wes calls, they made the Tiger Twins. But it's almost like Ebiketie is getting stronger as the season comes on, and he's starting. You can see the last two games, I've seen him getting there, but not finishing.
Well, so he's speaking to his potential as well.
Yeah. And I think to kind of bring it into context, let me give you all the names of some of the people that are right behind him on these PFF things that Raheem mentioned. Because I'm not a big PFF guy, but I know that Zach Robinson used to work at PFF. like 6 years ago. So I know that that's something that some of these guys pay attention to.
At least someone competent is right there.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I think it's kind of a good barometer in some instances, and maybe this is one of them. So let me give you these names. Arnold Bacchetti, like I said, 42nd edge defender in PFF. Number 45, Trayvon Walker for Jacksonville. How about number 47, Alex Highsmith? And how about number 49, Jonathan Grenard?
Say that first. The first and third names again.
Trayvon Walker at 45.
Where does he play? He
plays at Jacksonville.
How many sacks? You know, does it say how many sacks he's got?
I don't know.
Okay, but where did he go to college?
Georgia.
And he was the first overall pick?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Alex Highsmith, who we saw week one, who obviously plays opposite of T.J. Watt. You would think that's a pretty good situation.
Oh, he's a hell of a player, too. Now,
yes, he is.
Guy, that's a guy that's had like a 13-sack season in his past.
Exactly what I'm talking about. And then go down to 49, Jonathan Grenard, who just went to Minnesota. Remember, he played for Houston last year, and they kind of flipped defensive ends, right? And so that's another name that I think will pop out at people as somebody that's pretty good. Jalen Phillips is number 50 for Miami.
Now, I know Jonathan Grenard's got multiple sacks, but Dylan – right, and I appreciate him doing this. Why my right hand guy on the Falcons? Dylan's got me here. Said Trayvon Walker has 5 sacks this season.
How about this one? Tied at 42 with Arnold Bacchetti on PFF grades. How about this one? Montez Sweat. Guy's making a little bit of coin, huh?
Yeah, and he's that's the guy right. We almost
Chicago,
got here.
Did he go to Chicago?
Right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah.
So
and he got paid too.
And that's kind of why I bring these names up. I don't make a habit of looking at PFF because a lot of things I like to look at for myself and kind of judge based on some other things. But these names that are right around Arnold Bacchetti, I think to Raheem Morris's point, like he's not playing terribly. He's just not getting home. Like the stats just aren't there.
That's why I don't like that website is because guys with production are ranked below guys who don't have production. And at the end of the game, the only thing that gets you paid and gets you, gets people off your back is the production part. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of things in life that if you get to the finish line and you can't finish, did it happen? No.
Can I give you one more name though before we go to break? Leiatu Latu is at 19, the rookie.
Well, I heard, and I can't remember who it was, but somebody was rolling through all the rookies. Each of them just have one sack. Dallas Turner, Latu.
Like we just talked about. Doesn't always tell the whole story.
Well, that's the point, though. I would take Trayvon Walker's production. Would you?
Really?
Yeah, because he's getting the guy on the ground.
Okay.
Would you?
I don't know, man.
Would you take a guy just getting around the quarterback, or would you take a guy putting him on the ground?
Well, we'll have to talk about that later.
All that great stuff I said about Rusty earlier, just apply it to now. My nice meter, it's almost running low, although I always can dig deep for Rusty. So our esteemed colleague will be back with us on the other side. We come back in the morning shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game. We're back here on the morning shift and joining us here in studio.
Oh, man.
It's our Rusty Benson.
Thanks for making it here on time, Russ.
Yeah. I tried to pick you up at the house. I just missed you.
But got roasted.
I'm going to tell you something. If you guys could be here for the pre and post interviews of Rusty, I think the...
We better keep those.
The main entree...
We better keep those for the book.
The main entree is... This is one of those meals where the appetizer and the dessert is so good that you're like, well how was your ribeye? Yeah, it was all right.
dude, your TikTok's been the topic of conversation today. How did that even come about?
No
idea.
Because I'm co-owning a business now at Dogs HQ.
Sure.
And I'm like, I'll test any kind of market. 6 or 7 years ago, I didn't have 1 ounce of knowledge about Instagram. And I started an Instagram for a Georgia site. And within about a month, they had 20,000 followers. And I tell you, I didn't know what I was doing. Like, I would just post a picture of Mike Johnson and say, Roll Tide, and we'd get followers. Like, so I'm trying to navigate that world, but TikTok is...
Got to teach us.
I mean, come run my account. There you go.
I had a video go viral this week. I don't know if you guys saw the Gainesville High School.
The front office Sports Illustrated.
Million views total between X and Instagram.
It's nuts, man.
I think I made like 80 cents off that. So...
At least you made something. Checks in the mail.
I didn't even know. They sent me a little thing. It said, hey, if you fill your tax thing out, I was like, oh, I'm about to make it. I'm retiring. Yeah, it was like $33.
if you guys don't mind, I'd like to start here. Yeah, Rusty, well, yesterday we played Which One Wednesday.
Yeah, I guess we don't mind.
If you guys don't mind.
Mike was here on time. He goes first.
Yeah, exactly.
I was too.
Exactly.
I was right on time.
Wait, what time did Tiff get here?
Oh, come on. This isn't about me today.
Ahead. I know. I can't deflect.
So yesterday we played Which One Wednesday and asked them which would be a bigger win. Mm-hmm. Would it be Georgia Tech over Notre Dame in the Benz, or would it be Georgia on the road, beating Texas, number one Texas in Austin? Obviously, Georgia's had a ton of success, but Georgia Tech also kind of looking for a marquee. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame seems to be that team. Which one would be a bigger deal this weekend?
Georgia beating the number one team in the country on the road. Right. And if Georgia Tech were to beat Notre Dame and they're ranked number one in South Bend, it would be Georgia Tech. I mean, this is a headline game.
I'm adjusting for inflation a little bit here.
I'm telling you.
I'll be straight with you.
This Georgia Tech-Notre Dame game is not getting as much attention it should.
I agree.
Game in the Benz, like, this is a
big one.
This is a huge game. And to have Notre Dame, a team with a history, to come here to play that, you start talking about the movie Rudy, and that's what I was thinking about at the end of the game. You know what I mean? The Georgia
Rudy
Tech
playing in the Benz.
Rudy's in the Benz, baby. But certainly a huge game. I know Georgia Tech fans are excited about that. I know there'll be a lot of Notre Dame fans coming down to Atlanta, but I can tell you all eyes are on, I would say, three games this week. Georgia, Texas. A sneaky game to me is Miami at Louisville, and then Alabama, Tennessee, obviously. I mean, those three games have big meanings on the results.
So with Georgia and Texas, I know there were reports this week talking about Smile Mundon.
I don't know where that came from. He's been out.
It's like looking like maybe he was going to come back.
It's like saying Rusty Mantell's out this week. Like, I'm not playing this week.
Which is something that was just unearthed again.
Here's the thing. Yeah, I mean, he's been out, and I take for granted, like, what I know and what the Georgia market knows.
Right. I was going to say, I think there was an expectation at some point that he was trending in the right direction.
And yesterday my phone blew up like, damn, y'all lost Smile Mundon. I'm like, huh? Like, I saw Smile Mundon Saturday. He was in a boot, and, like, he was – he could barely walk. So he's out for a while. But that hasn't been reported by Georgia. So I can see how the national media thinks, like, hey, this guy, oh, God, he's not playing this week. No, nobody thought this guy was playing. But I think that's how that kind of got out of.
Well, in my reaction when we talked about it yesterday, I was like, I mean, this is nothing new. Georgia's there's an injury at every level of their team, it feels like. So it's unfortunate.
Yep. You know, I keep hearing people say Georgia just needs to run the ball. Just go in there and run the ball against Texas and I just don't think that's who Georgia is this year.
Not right now, they're not.
And I think that, you know, the reality is Texas is better than Georgia in the trenches.
Might be. We're gonna find out.
So what does Carson Beck need to do? Because to me, Carson Beck is the way they're gonna beat Texas. Not the running game.
I think Georgia as a whole has to play a complete game. At times they've been really, really good. Times have been like head scratchers. At times you're like, where is that coming from? Where's the lack of, you know, kind of ball skills? I mean, these are highly recruited kids at corner. I think to touch on the Mississippi State game, I was there in person. I was in the press box, brand-new press box, elevated view. That kid made some of the best throws in the second half. I was talking to E.J. Shockley yesterday. He goes, Rusty, I watched the confidence in that kid. He started throwing ropes. I mean, and so there's some game plays you can't defend. But with Georgia and Texas, to me, Carson Beck has got to have one of his best games. He doesn't have to be a superhero. He's got guys around him, but he has to have a four-quarter game. You can't spot Texas 28 points. You will get ran out of the building there.
I was gonna kind of point to that direction, too. And obviously, Quinn Ewers kind of been put back in that situation. What are your expectations for this Georgia defense? Because I know, you give up 31 to Mississippi State. It's kind of here and there. It's kind of spotty. Mm-hmm. And you talk about the continued injuries. It's like, I don't know what Quinn Ewers is.
Yeah.
It was kind of spotty last week. Kind of had some rust.
I went back and watched that last week.
It was some rust, a lot of short throws. Yeah. So I'm just curious what that matchup looks like, because we talk about injuries, talk about a guy coming off injuries on the offensive side. I don't know what to expect.
I know Texas has got two tackles that are projected NFL first rounders, both of them.
Dogs.
They lost their two top running backs in preseason, and they got freshmen and sophomores that are really good. They got maybe a better wide receiver group than they had last year. Isaiah Bond, kid out of Buford, went to Bama.
Yeah. Is he playing this week,
They
too?
Said he practiced yesterday, so he's going to wind up playing. I mean, they got guys. I think Georgia, for whatever reason, you look at Georgia-Alabama, you had to outscore somebody. You look at Georgia-Ohio State, maybe one of the best defenses in the last 20 years on paper, and Georgia still had to outscore Ohio State all the way to the last play of the game. So offensively, a game like this, you have to win a shootout. You know, my question all week has been Texas. What do we know about Texas? Two things are going to be answered Saturday. We're going to find out about Texas, and then we're going to have enough sample size about Georgia to know who they are, period. Like, it's not going to be if we fix this or we play like this. You're going to know who Georgia is Sunday morning when you wake up because the sample size is there. But I'll tell you this, for Texas, this is by far the best team they've played, by far. They haven't played but one team in the top 100 in offense. That's Mississippi State. Everybody else is 120, 125. I mean, this is the first team that they have played that they can walk in that building with a threat to beat them.
Yeah. So you said we'll find out who Georgia is. Will we find out who Alabama is when they take on Tennessee?
Yeah.
Will we find
100%.
Out who Tennessee is?
I think we'll find out both.
I think that's the question.
That's the real
That's the question. What the hell is going on with Tennessee?
Can't run the ball. And when you people start talking about how
bad interior line.
That's what, everybody talks about, man, they'll spread you out and they'll throw all over the field. They don't want to throw it all over the field. They want to spread you out and run against a light box.
Yep.
And then when you bring that guy down, then they want to throw. If Tennessee can't run the ball, it doesn't make things work because you can play too high shell against them. And Georgia kind of exposed that a couple years ago, played more man-to-man, and was able to control the box. So we're going to find out. Alabama's been inconsistent at times. I still think they got the firepower to do it. And until Tennessee shows me they can run the football, I kind of like Alabama in this game.
Mm. Yeah, I watched that game last week with Tennessee against Florida, and I'm like, I mean, what? You let when Florida holds you scoreless in the first
come
half,
on, man.
You got issues. Come on. I mean,
I took the over as my lock of the week in that game.
Lord.
Is Haynes King going to play?
I don't know. That's another question. That's a huge deal. I mean, that's a massive, massive deal in that game. I don't know if you guys saw the scuttlebutt. I just caught some of it. Some of the Florida fans, I guess. Even some Tennessee fans commented on it. So Morgan Wallen has the big two-night concert in Neyland. They replaced the turf 2.5 weeks. First game back, they have two ACLs in one game. And I kind of caught a piece of that yesterday. I was thinking, man, I hope that's not the situation. But like, I saw the people talking about Graham Mertz, and then they lost their leading tackler. It happens.
It does happen. I remember
the Mertz played, was weird too because he was just throwing.
Yeah,
we played in the Rose Bowl after a week after the Rose Bowl game.
Yeah,
like, played the national title, and they literally redid the turf.
Yeah,
like 7 days in advance, and we played on that. Didn't see it in this. I guess if you do it the right way, it can be.
I mean, listen, these guys are professional. I just thought that was in there. I caught that yesterday. Yeah. I was like, maybe that's a story. I have no idea. Yeah. I have no idea.
Do you recall such a crazy – this feels like a crazy season in college football because we have more playoff spots, right?
Yeah.
We have more, yet it feels to an extent like we might have two elimination games this weekend.
I disagree on one of those. I know Georgia, in my opinion, has five games that they have to – play in, like five, they got Clemson, Alabama, Texas, Ole Miss, and Tennessee. I said it before the season, they got to go 3-2 in those five games. They got to go 3-2. They're 10-2, they're in. If they lose this game, they're 1-2 in those. Then you got to beat Florida, you got to win the games.
Yeah.
You got to beat Tech, I know that. But I'm saying, if Georgia goes 3-2 in those and handles the rest of the business, they're getting in at 10-2.
They'll be like 12, maybe 11.
Somewhere there. But they're going to get in because Clemson's probably going to the ACC. You're going to lose at Texas, if you lose at Texas, the number one team in the country, they're going to reward them for the schedule they've played a little bit, I think.
Which I think is fair. Do you agree that the SEC championship game, while it matters for seeding,
Drew Butler's word was it's penal.
It doesn't.
Yes.
It doesn't matter.
Especially if you
both
lose.
Both teams are in.
Especially if you lose. You add an extra game.
But you have
you
to
don't
be
get the
in.
Bye.
I'm sorry, though.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah, you're in. Those two teams are in.
Yeah.
But you don't get – if you lose that game, say you scrap and get there, just you fight, scratch, and Texas winds up going undefeated, wins this thing. If you lose that game, you add an extra game, and now you don't get a bye.
Right. You're playing two weeks later.
I don't think people realize.
Yeah.
Well, you go to the SEC championship game, you definitely want to win it because you get the bye. If you lose, holy smokes, you add a game, and then you don't get a bye. Uh-huh. You could potentially play 17 games for a team to run at 17 games in college football.
I think
that's brutal.
I think right now you're looking at the Big Ten and the SEC having six teams in the playoff.
There's a lot of football left.
There's a whole lot of football left.
It's just going to get – did you hear the guy with Abe Gordon last night, the playoff commissioner, I think?
Yeah.
Talking about Army-Navy?
Yeah, yeah.
That was wild.
That's what –
The Army-Navy game doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
The second time.
Yeah, it doesn't matter the second time. We talked about it actually on – what was that, Monday? And we were just having that conversation. It's like it's just mind-blowing when those decisions will be made, when those games could line up with them playing back-to-back, and then it not even really mattering the second time around.
I'm going to tell you something. Nobody wants any of Army in a playoff game.
No.
Nobody wants to practice the triple getting cut block for 2 weeks.
And then airing it out.
Can you imagine Army going to, like, Texas?
I don't want any of this.
Dude, nobody wants none of that. Nobody wants none of that.
No, thank you.
Thank you, Rusty.
We'll talk about the sweatpants and the high heels next week.
It was a joke.
Pretty athletic move, though. I'll say this. Whoever did it. Whoever did that, pretty athletic move.
We got a life of squid ahead. That's next to the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are back here on the Morning Shift. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer in your home today and start packing.
Well, one of the things you missed this morning was Tiff walking in with 8 layers of clothing on and looking like she was.
It was 36 degrees.
The polar ice caps of the North Pole.
I feel like she's trying to make a statement with that Princeton hoodie, like saying like, I'm smarter than y'all.
I thought it was LSU when she walked in.
This is Ross Tucker brought gifts for all of our college football crew. So there has.
If I did that, would you wear Bama stuff? I don't.
If it's an oversized hoodie, sold.
For the record, I'm about.
I don't know if I'd wear it out in the streets though. Because there's like a certain I would call it a sleep hoodie.
A certain interpretation.
Yeah.
What are you trying to say about
Bama people?
I'm
just saying,
like,
I don't know if I want to roll around with like a rolled tied sweatshirt.
What?
But I would wear Princeton. Wear Princeton on the streets.
I know.
No, I'd wear anything. Offended. I would wear anything on the street. I would wear like.
You just said you wouldn't.
I'm saying specifically Bama.
Oh.
Why?
It would be a house hoodie.
A high caliber of individual that attends the University of Alabama. Okay.
It would be Princeton, but house hoodies are highly coveted. Do you understand? Like, this is technically a house hoodie, but now it's been made outdoors because I am out of the house to get here.
She's about to kill me for what I'm about to say. I'm a huge Ross Tucker fan. I've been working with Ross for years as far as booking him on shows and stuff when he first got in the business. But when I talk to Ross and
don't
like when
you
I text
trash
him,
my guy on these airwaves
and then remember that he went to Princeton, I just am like, really?
Princeton.
You know, the funny thing is he was on the Bills playing while my dad was on the coaching staff.
Really?
So it's like everything always somehow comes oddly enough full circle in a weird way.
You better be careful making. I guarantee that somewhere Ross Tucker has an IPA hat because he's a huge craft beer guy.
After our game, we were all at the airport bar because we got there in time. And he's like, what do you have? Whatever IPA is local. That's what he's all over.
Can I give you an Al Inn craft lager to take to him? Not this week, but next week.
I can't put it in my carry-on. Carry-on only policy.
You can put it in the, I know you check a bag.
Heck no.
No
you
way
kidding
she
me?
Checks a bag. Are you
I think
me?
She's a bag
no
checker.
No, bag checking is for losers.
Did you check? You check them when
for
we
people
went to
who
Europe,
don't
though.
Want to make sure they have their stuff.
You check them when
you. Oh yeah, because that's like you're gone
you
for
loser.
Weeks. You what?
You
that's
loser.
Different.
You just cut you loser.
No, if you're going for a couple days, you absolutely do not check a bag. Ooh. I gotta have my items, and I'm always fearful of like them getting lost. Talk to my agent. Oh,
that's so good.
You know what? You know what? I want you to look at this. Look at this. Talk to my agent.
Oh, it's so good.
Talk to my agent, Tiff.
Oh, I hate you guys.
Yes, you heard it. W Sauce and New Realm Brewing, the Al Inn craft lager. You can get it at select stores. Hit me up for those stores. I've got a list. But, you know, I know you can go to some places in Kennesaw, Old Town in Kennesaw. I was there the other day with Chaz. We had a lunch and I had a couple Al Inns. I'm not sure if he had any. Also, the Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic, November 25th at Eagle Watch. It is a shotgun start at 10 a.m. There are spots available. I am looking at the number, but they are going quick. So go get in. And if I had someone hit me up, Harrison, a big listener, hit me up. Man, there are no spots available. Can you open up a few? I said, there are spots available. He goes, no, they're not.
Harrison's
I'm telling
good
you.
People.
Harrison's and I said, Harrison, people. Go to this link. I guarantee it. If my name is Squid Billy, I guarantee there are spots available. And guess what? There are. I think Harrison is going to get in now. So do not miss it. Let's play a game.
Okay.
I want you to name a coach that you think might be on the hot seat. And I'm going to tell you his bio.
No, I don't like hot seat stuff for coaches.
Billy Napier.
What does it mean you think they should be fired, Tiff? It just thinks
true,
that they're
society.
Fan base. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not an opinion. It's a fact that they could be on the hot seat. What do you think his Napier. All right, I'm going to give you a number. Billy Napier's buyout, $30 million, higher or lower?
Lower, but not by much. I'm going to say 27.
Tiff, what are you going with?
That he's on the hot seat? You said 27?
No, just the buyout.
I think the buyout is 27.
Ooh, okay, I'll agree with Mike.
It's lower. It's only $26
million. Wow. Oh, yes.
Here's the deal. I'll make this easier for you guys. I'll give you a couple of
guys. I don't know if I need it any easier. I almost just hit the nail on the head.
$26 million for Billy Napier. That's his buyout. Oh, wow. All right. Hugh Freeze.
Gotta come back as a college coach in another life.
I think he's safe for another year, but he's kind of on a hot seat. His buyout, $30 million, higher or lower?
Hugh Freeze. I'm going to say it's higher.
Can I search people's deals right now?
I'm going to say it's higher just simply from the fact that they needed him to take that job at the time, and they were probably willing to sign whatever he wanted them to.
I'm not saying I agree with you, but I was going to say higher. But I didn't get to answer first, but I am going higher. Okay. I don't have a number.
I'm going to get you first.
But I know that I know that it's higher.
Do I need to give a number?
Yeah, do we have to
give
a ballpark?
Yeah, give me a number you think. Make it fun.
$36 million.
All right.
You said $36 million is a buyout? Whatever, 37.
It's lower. It's only $20 million.
Really?
Surprises me.
Wow.
Only $20 million.
Wow,
all right.
I'm actually shocked by that.
Go to Oklahoma. Brent Venables, I think, is safe. But Oklahoma fans, apparently one Oklahoma fan wanted to fire the OC and bring in Bob Stoops as the OC, even though he knows Bob Stoops is a defensive coach.
There is a lot of Bama fans that would like, if Venables does get fired, to bring him in as the DC. So that's interesting.
This is also true.
Brent Venables, buyout, $35 million, higher or lower?
Brent Venables, 35.
Tiffany,
what'd you say again? Say it.
35 million, higher or lower?
It's all his alma mater. He came back home to coach. I'm going to say it's higher, and I'm going to just throw out, I'm going to go 37 again.
Okay. Mike, higher
or lower? I'm going to say lower. I'm going to go 32.
Tiffany is the winner. It's higher, but she's still too low. It is $44 million buyout for Brent Venables at Oklahoma.
If anybody's listening has a GA spot available so I can start climbing the ladder
let
me know.
That's what I'm
Although
saying,
Robert Saleh, I don't know if y'all saw his. It's not just college. Robert Saleh's living the dream, too.
All right.
I saw him at the grocery. Leave that man alone, okay? People taking pictures
what
of him.
What did he say?
I didn't see him, but they saw him at the grocery store in pictures. Like,
no, I know. And they asked him, how you doing?
He goes,
I'm living the dream.
Oh, I didn't know.
I was like, yes. Yes, he is living the dream.
Oh, sorry, real quick. Okay, go ahead, Bo. One more.
All right, one more.
Real fast.
Mike Norvell.
This is
$45 million higher or lower, Tiffany.
I was there. $45 million higher or lower. That kind of money there.
I'm gonna tell you something. This program don't have the kind of money.
I'm gonna 46.
It's definitely over because he just signed an extension.
So you're both going higher.
When Saban retired, Norvell signed an extension. It's got to be over.
What's your number?
I'm going to go, like, it's astronomical. I'm going to say, like, $60 million. Maybe even more.
I'm going to have to give this to Mike because he's closer. You're both right. $63.7 million buyout for Mike Norvell at Florida State. Hey.
I knew it.
Hey, Sandra. Hey, Mike Bell. Y'all ain't never getting rid of Norvell
because
you ain't got the money to get rid of him. At least we can buy out.
They signed his extension when Bama came sniffing around last year. They signed his extension, and I was like, wow.
We can all rethink our job choices right now. When we come back, we'll find out what's going on in the steakhouse. Stay with us here in the morning shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game. That is what I aspire to be, a horrible football coach.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.